Ba-da-ba-bum. Welcome back to the Inside Trail. Boom. It is the 3rd of February. The 3rd of February, yeah, correct. Okay, so we're kind of past that month where New Year's resolutions were a huge thing, and now people are going to realize, okay, I might have failed, but, you know, keep going. Yeah, my own New Year's resolutions. Oh, it feels weird talking about New Year's resolutions in February now, but still going to the gym a bit, but you know, I'm gonna need to kick it up a few gears. What I am proud about myself recently is I'm saying no to as frequent takeaways, and I'm looking after my diet a little bit more, which, you know, I am happy with that. We're moving in a good direction. But today I am joined by Hugh Fennin and Jack O'Neill, and we're gonna do a little spew about rivalry in sports, because the two of the lads have been playing against each other on the pitch for years now, so they'll give us a good insight into what it's like to, you know, hate one another while wearing a jersey. So that'll be interesting. We might touch on grief a little bit as well, and how to deal with it. Yeah, then we're going to do the trivia. I'm expecting big scores today. Also, a little side note, Brian Egan, I'm so sorry, but I miscounted yours when you were on, and you actually got 3, not 4. So you're actually sitting in the middle, you're not as close to the top as you thought. But anyway, that's the trivia bit. Also, what I wanted to talk to you today about is a job. Kind of aim towards students or people who maybe already have a job and are looking for a little bit more money on the side, but all you are required is a full driver's license and access to a car. And by access to a car, I mean you have to have, you know, insurance, all that kind of stuff. You can't just, you know, rob a car and start doing people's groceries. Because that, you know, it's not GTA. Now, that would have been a weird mode in GTA where you have to rob someone's car and go do their groceries. Sorry, that wasn't really that funny. Anyway, but, so, the job. So basically, you have an app on your phone, and you clock in at whatever. Every Wednesday, you'll pick your hours for the following week, so you're completely self-employed. You dictate when you work, so it's very good for students, people playing sport, people who are generally just busy. So it is really good to be able to choose your own hours every week, which I find really, really helpful. Basically, you have an app on your phone, and you receive an order, then you go to a grocery store that you'll be told which grocery store to go to, and you have a whole list of items. You get as much of them as you can, and then if there's any that you can't get, you then call the customer and say, listen, you know, they don't have any strawberry yogurt here, but they have raspberry, would you like them to get raspberry instead? And then they can choose to, you know, take your raspberry yogurt, or they can say, you know what, I don't want that, just take it off the list completely. So then you will be given a card, you pay for it, and then you deliver it. You'd be an absolutely fantastically friendly person, and you know, you might get a tip out at the odd time, but to be honest, the tips are just a bonus. Like, the pay is good, you know, especially for students. You know, the money, like, you can make a lot of money if you spend your time wisely. You know, if you pick good shifts to do, like, you know, I personally do a full Saturday, and you know, you make a good bit of money just on that. And then you do a couple of evenings during the week. You know, if you finish college at 5, you might, you know, do 5 to 9 and just make a bit of quid. But yeah, that's it really. But if anyone is interested in that job, contact me at theinsidetrail@gmail.com, and I will refer you on to the higher powers. That's it really. If anyone has any questions on it or something like that, you know, just shoot me an email. The Inside Trail Instagram is there as well. If anyone has just a quick kind of text they want to bang over, you're more than welcome. Even if it's not about that job, it can be about anything. If you have anything that you think I could talk about on here, if you have a certain person who wants to come on and talk, or maybe it's you, maybe you want to come on and talk. If you have something interesting, maybe it's not even interesting, maybe you just have something that, maybe you just want to talk, I don't know. But anyway, I'm there. If anyone wants to shoot me anything, it's their email or Instagram, that's cool. Yeah. This is actually our longest pre-spew. This is the longest I've just been talking on my own in a room for. But I'm addressing someone, so it doesn't feel that weird. But yeah, so very excited to have these two lads on today. Hope you enjoy, whether you're on the bus right now or you're sitting in your room doing nothing. I'm glad that you chose to do nothing with me. So welcome to the Inside Trail. Oh, the beautiful sound, the beautiful, beautiful sound. And we're back. We're back here for another little spew with the boys. So, today I'm joined by Jack O'Neill, who is studying BESS in Trinity. Funny thing about Jack is you'll hear him way before you actually see him, because Jack's pretty small. Anyway, but it's fun to have Jack around, because I was always a short guy, and now I've got someone I can put short jokes on. Yeah. But it's okay, I feel it. I get them too. I'm also here with Hugh Fennan, who's studying actuarial maths, which is a lot of numbers and stuff that I could definitely never do, but fair play to you, Hughie. One thing that I will say about Hughie is, whether he's gargled or whether he's locked, he's still, I remember one time Hughie walked into this pane of glass, right? And he walked through a door completely sober, was just going out the back and walked straight into a glass pane.
Yeah, it's hard to see, I think.
Yeah, well.
Musky night, like.
Absolutely. Well, it's actually funny enough, because I actually don't think you've gathered that many injuries locked. I think you've probably done a lot more stupid.
I remember the next day actually coming home, and I came home from the hospital, right? So my mom saw this. She was parked outside the house, and it was a barbecue. And I had maybe two or three drinks. I went back inside to get one of the lads. And I pulled one of those sliding doors open, and I turned around and smashed it, went through, there was blood everywhere. Came home the next morning, and my mom had saw the whole thing, and she was like, oh, you're an idiot. Like, she just shook out as you're an idiot. And my dad came home the next morning, and he came down in the morning, and I had 8 stitches across the forehead, 2 on my nose, 3 on my chin. And I turned around, and he's like, what happened to you? And I was like, I went through a door. And he's like, no, you didn't, you were in a fight, someone bottled you. And I was like,
someone bottled you?
Yeah. And he went in, and I was like, nah, I wish I was in a fight, I just wanted to the door. And wouldn't believe, my mom was like, he did that. And he wouldn't believe her. He's like, oh, man, he definitely got in a fight. My son didn't walk through the door.
Yeah, I guess. fair. Sometimes, you just do shit that's stupid. But, I'm being bottled. I've actually been bottled before.
Oh, that night in Leixlip.
That night in Leixlip. The infamous night in Leixlip, yeah.
Oh,
this fella.
One
of the lads had a golf ball and a sock just going around just smacking fellas in the head. I remember this fella came up to me and he was like, give me your bottle. And I was like, and then he just gave me the bottle, blah, blah. And then a couple of minutes later, I'm just turning around and he's like, who are you, blah, blah. And he was obviously looking for someone. And I was like, my name's Dan. Who are you? Nice to meet you. I'm a really nice guy. Please don't hurt me. And, yeah, then about 2 minutes later, I was walking around just trying to smash the bottle of fucking sombreros over my head. You know, that kind of shit desperado.
I hit a break on impact because Andy got a smack and didn't break, but split.
I've a scar going from there. You can only really see it when I get a proper raw, but I've got a scar going from there up like that. But funnily about that night, actually, we got a taxi back to mine from Leixlip. Big fare. But there was a good view, so I didn't really matter. Hugh Sexton actually put Vaseline all over the back of my head, wrapped my head in toilet paper, and we just sat around there at 4 o'clock in the morning and just having a bottle each. What the fuck are we going to say? We're only fucking 16.
I remember
that.
Yeah.
So
me and James
would
leave the
block
with that, and we're like, thank God we did those stories.
Absolute carnage. Well, I haven't been back to Leixlip since. So anyway, today. Basically, the way I'm going to introduce these two lads together is they've been playing hurling against each other for how long now, would you say?
I'm younger, so.
You would play it up.
Yeah.
So, this is about under 14, 15.
Yeah, since I was about 14. Yeah. 15, we were
so
under 15.
Yeah. About 6-7 years, something like that.
Yeah,
roughly.
Years,
so, right, so I never really had a huge GAA background. I played a little bit when I was younger, but there seems to be a lot more of kind of hatred between clubs. Not like the way rugby clubs hate each other, fucking Lansdowne absolute pricks or something that. You know what I mean? The rugby chat is a lot different to the GAA chat.
Yeah. Ireland's a bit more sour.
Yeah, it's definitely more sour. I feel like the rugby's can be more on the pitch, it can be more civilized, but once the game ends, it everyone shakes hands and it's put away once the game ends. But I find when hurling sometimes it gets sour.
It doesn't just stay on the pitch though, afterwards there's you avoid players from other clubs.
Yeah,
you can see them on nights out.
Two of us wouldn't have been the best.
But it's mad to think that you would have had years of that and now you get a bit older. And probably if you hadn't have your friend group's kind of mixed up in the last while. You probably wouldn't
probably
have.
Probably no. Would never have been.
No, because, like, for instance, like, we went to Age of Clans together, but,
yeah.
Like, we wouldn't have, our paths wouldn't cross any other way. And you wouldn't know, like, when you're with your own club lads, and they're, like, if Mafina lads are with Bridges lads, like, no matter what, when you come back to it, like, they're like, oh, you were a Bridges lad. They understand it, like.
I got it when I was over there, they were like, who are you living with?
Yeah.
So, just, you know,
a couple of
people.
Yeah.
You have to take people as you find them. So, yeah. Anything, it's important. Like,
yeah. So then,
it's a sport at the end of the day.
So, I know, like, a lot of stuff that comes out now about, like, the kind of fights and stuff. In, you know, them videos you see where they're kind of turned into, like, MMA
yeah.
videos and stuff like that. Like, what is it that makes, you know, Ga? Why is there such hatred, do you think, when it comes to stuff like that?
I think it comes from. It's kind of the whole small parish mentality, really.
Mm.
Like, a lot of those fights you see, it's football in down the country.
Yeah.
That's completely different to Dublin.
Yeah.
Especially hurling in Dublin. But they, like, it's real, like, oh, well, he's my neighbour, and this fella from the different parish is disrespecting him, I'm going to back him up. Like, a lot of it is kind of forced, but it's the real kind of closed community mentality, I suppose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He grew up with these people. Like, he grew up, like, you were 4 or 5. You spend your childhood memories, you spend too. You play up on the same roads,
yeah.
and like I know I'm a bit from outside Glass Devil, but I played them. But like I used to live there for years, and you go to these people's houses, you knew their families,
yeah.
you knew them intimately, and like once you get on the pitch with that, like you have a bond with people, and no sort of anyone else plays sports. Someone else is going at them, and like you go at them toe to toe in the game, like you're the defender,
yeah.
your own lad, you know.
And hurling especially, because you essentially have a weapon on you, you know, like. Like, I know you told me
yeah.
a story about
about
someone
oh, yeah.
trying to get stabbed or something.
Yeah, we played Craig Curran before. Like, we'd been Craig Curran back in the days, would be a big rivalry. Like, you can see them still today, but we'd be the only team now. We played them out in a game out in Crave, and anyone knows if you play hurling out in Crave, getting 2 points out in Crave, let alone it'll be a physical battle. Like,
terrible.
Kicked off. So.
Having the game like a full 70 minutes is probably your accomplishment.
Oh,
in
it's
Kieran.
A fortress.
Yeah. Abandoned by
it's
the end
a,
of it.
It's a fortress. Like,
it's hard to get the
we got there
yeah.
and we had a game anyway, and the game turned sour anyway. So myself and my old man were getting into it a bit, and there's a lot of chat. Like, you get chat in the game, a lot of chat. But your man early on in the game had swung, and I was looking back the goalkeeper off ball, and he'd hit me across the head. The hurl had swung and broke his hurl across my head. So anyway, there was a big bleed after this grand, right? And then I was getting like chat and like that back, and we were both chatting each other the whole time. Like, it was from both sides, like I'm like adding things, and we were both hitting each other, bullet hurl and that. And then he broke the hurl again on the stage, and then he split me on the chin with the hurl, and then tried to stab me in the neck with the hurl, and the game was abandoned.
Standard Saturday.
Standard Saturdays, yeah.
But I think a lot of that comes from like the likes of us and Crave, maybe, who wouldn't be as good hurling teams, would always have maybe a chip on the shoulder playing the likes of Mafina. And I think that's where a lot of the, say, hatred and air quotes like
yeah.
comes from. It's, you know, these lads are good and they know they're good, so it's let's put it up to them, see what they're made of. Like,
yeah.
Test their characters, be soft. Like, there's a lot of the better teams to be soft.
Yeah, especially the south side. Like, a lot of the good teams in Dublin come from the south side. No disrespect to them, but the stereotype is these south side boys can hurl, but what are they made of? Like, they're soft blokes, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
Can they take a few elbows?
That
they're going to get lippy.
Yeah.
It's one of the great things about hurling, like, because it's not only like a test of skill as well, that new character as well. You're going to get games where it's not going to be pretty, no matter the skill level between the two teams. It can come down to literally how dogged you are.
Yeah,
like,
who wants it?
Yeah.
It's also like when I compare it to rugby, it's often, you know, like in rugby, you're on two separate sides. You only if you're in contact with them, it's a tackle, you know, and then it's over.
Yeah.
Whereas in hurling, you're standing right beside the fella.
There's
blackjack going. You might, you know, grab his jersey. You might stand on his toes. Yeah. You might give him a little jab with the hurl.
Mm-hmm.
And because especially at like lower levels where it's not like televised and stuff like that, like no one's gonna fucking see that.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, the referee doesn't see it, he can't send you up.
Yeah.
And if there's enough, because often there'll be like at that Craig game, there's only one referee, right? So like there's no linesman there, no umpires, so no one can actually, your man didn't get a yellow, or no one got a yellow, right?
Yeah. That's how I earn my crust, really.
Just annoy them into
yeah.
yeah.
Like, especially when you're coming up against hurlers, like I was only ever making teams like selections when I was marking good hurlers and not letting them play. Like,
yeah.
I was never out there to play hurling, I'll be
yeah.
dead honest with you. I was
yeah.
out there to stop people.
Mm.
And especially when you're playing underage and there's no umpires, no linesmen, you get away with murder.
Yeah.
But like, they're
the
dark guys.
They're pulling and dragging,
fair.
Two great skills.
Yeah.
And then, so you both played schools rugby as well. When you compare playing, would you have found it difficult then to take that GA mentality and then bring it into rugby? Because I remember at the time when I was probably about 16 or so, when I was playing GA, I would have definitely been a lot more
hot-headed
and rowdy playing rugby. It's probably a lot, probably kind of first, second, third year would have been a lot more, you know, willing to have it, you know, off the ball stuff and stuff like that. Whereas, and I don't know whether that was me being a rowdy. Well, I don't know. Well, I kind of made a lot of life decisions when I got to about 16 or 17 that I kind of realised I was going in a bad direction. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. There's just something about that I do really love about rugby is that
it's a discipline.
There is discipline, you know,
respect,
like,
between the players and the referees.
Yeah. But even between other, you know, players, like, often you will see a little bargy, but a little handbag
there's
or something like that.
Dig,
but they know that they can't throw a dig.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas, like I remember watching the Monaghan game, the Dublin and Monaghan game last weekend, and Cooper and whatever your man, the Monaghan fella, doing MMA trip-ups and all.
Sweep,
fairness, great technique, man. Yeah. It was great takedown, but like, I don't know where the judges' scorecards are. Do you know what I mean?
I think the thing in that as well, because we were saying there's only one referee on the pitch, and like, in those conditions there, but in rugby, the play is very much in front of the referee, and he can see everything.
Yeah.
But in Gaelic, when it's one-on-one, 48 to 50-man pitch, and it's one-on-one spread around the pitch, it's almost near impossible for referees to see everything.
Yeah, because I'd say most of the time they're trying to stay with the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
And
like,
when the ball is one end, you're turning that way, essentially. So,
but even in rugby, it's like the respect for the referee is not demanded, but it's like it's a given.
It's obligated.
I mean?
Like,
and it was one thing I definitely struggled with playing rugby was, why is this guy talking to me like that?
Yeah.
I'm only trying to have a chat with him.
Yeah.
And I used to have very bad rugby referees when I first started playing. So I was like, I'm not just going to give you my respect because you're in a uniform.
Yeah.
You're going to have to earn it.
Yeah.
As a 14-year-old kid. Like,
as, yeah,
that
absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
fair. And so then, like, when you, so that's obviously like club rivalry then, and then, you know, when you get to kind of inter-county, is that as, like, I find that with the difference between club and county, a lot more people get a lot, as you said, like a chip on your shoulder, and you're growing up in your parish.
Yeah.
When obviously players are then, you know, the best of these clubs that they're brought in to then play for this, do you think that they have the same, you know, affiliation towards each other as club teams would?
I mean, it depends. There's certain guys on the team who you're going to gel with and you're going to get on with, and you know them from, say, playing against them, and you're like, I like how he plays, he's a sound dude, I'm going to back him up. But when you're in those setups, it's not the same,
really,
because you're there to represent your club, really, on a county level. So it's not as strong a bond. And when you're coming up against other teams, it's only when you're playing alongside lads who you really like is when, you know, you're fighting hard in games and you're putting it up to other teams. But when that's not there, like, I find it hard anyway.
It's difficult to get them out of it. I know, like, when you're a kid, like, Jackie, you have a far more experience than I have in this, but, like, even when I played underage, like, up until I was 16, but yeah, when you're a kid and you're younger, you want to play for them. You got to go back. You get
the
there and you still want to play for them, but I just find that bond with your club,
you can't beat it.
You play against people, you mark them day in, day out. Like, I remember there's a couple of lads from over on Crokes, like, and you're playing the same team as them, and you're taking lumps out of him the weekend before, and it's just hard to go straight in. You can try it, like, because you're both, everyone wants to win, and you're competitors, but it's difficult.
Definitely not the same going from club to county, but, like, it depends on the setup, really, you know what I mean?
And then, speaking of, like, having kind of pride in county then, I know that something that I've kind of heard a lot of over the next couple of years is to split Dublin in two because of how well they're doing at the football. Now, a lot of people say, yes, that should be done because it makes more fair on all the other counties, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, should Dublin be taken down a peg for excelling? And I know we said beforehand, you know, Kilkenny had that with the hurling, but they did that with a small population.
Yeah, so I think demographics is the big thing, really, isn't it? That's the main argument, is that Dublin are this strong because of the player pool they have. Kilkenny were that strong in the hurling because they had good hurlers. It wasn't they had tons and tons of hurlers. Well, they did, but not the same number that Dublin have to pick in football.
It was the culture, I would have said, where they're growing in Kilkenny. Like, you go down the street in Kilkenny and all the kids have a hurler.
Yeah.
It is just, they like,
It's religion.
Yeah, exactly.
Religion. Like, you see lads in Kieran's going to mass with fucking...
Yeah, hurdles. Like, and yeah. It's like, that's why they're so good. It's not because the population ever got it.
That's what
like,
I...
In Dublin, as Jack was saying, it's the exact... It's the numbers game, eventually, like obviously it is people love the sport, but the numbers game...
Yeah. But with the numbers game, like surely would Dublin's population have increased that much in the last 15 years? Like, what about when Kerry had... What about when Kerry had their golden era?
Yeah,
would Dublin... Did Dublin not have a big population then? You know... I suppose when you look at it that way, you have to think, you know, with Jim Gavin and all that, maybe he's just, you know,
yeah, it's definitely the culture in Dublin as well as the player pool.
Mm.
But if you're thinking in the future, should we split Dublin in two? The argument has to be, well, there's going to be double the amount of people in Dublin, a lot of people in Dublin. Split it north and south, it makes it a lot fairer for the counties with less resources.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be. Long gone are the days of teams like Leitrim like competing, and like that's they're competing at a, like a top level in the All Ireland. Like, and they love to see it, it'd be great for the sport if smaller teams do well, but it's just difficult the population to reach from, like and like a lot of the resources because the population will go into Dublin, for like a lot of the funds of the GA will go into Dublin because of the numbers. But I do think that like it's about bringing the standards up in other counties. I hate to bring down the standard in one county so to equalise it, but at the same time...
You need to differentiate upwards
rather than...
Yeah, it would be terrible to see
Dublin's but that's very difficult with the lack of numbers in other counties, and it's not really an argument you can apply in this case. But I do think going forward, definitely in the football case, because Dublin are dominating.
Yeah, wouldn't work in Ireland.
No.
Just because there's less clubs that compete at an elite level in Ireland. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of them are on the south side. So if you were to split them north and south in hurling, definitely wouldn't work.
And Dublin's hurling isn't necessarily good enough to split. There'd be no real reason to split it either. It's only really when you see... The only real reason to split Dublin in football is to make it fair on other people.
Yeah,
so like, assuming that, I presume, we think Dublin are going to do it again this year.
I'd love to see a team. I know they lost to Monaghan last week, and we were talking
about them kind of how they knew the new rule and stuff like that. But I think, you know, it's only February. I think when it comes to September time, I think Dublin know how to.
They're a different beast.
Yeah, and as like they have so many players. Like, I was watching the game yesterday against Galway, and I had lads who I don't even particularly like. I wouldn't be a massive Dublin fan, but I'd keep up to date with it enough.
Mm.
And just lads who I don't even know coming on and playing.
Playing as well as anyone else was.
So I don't know, the player pool thing is big, but you know, just before we move on, one last thing, just while we're talking with GAA, what do you think about the whole keeping it amateur and professionalising it? Is that even a word?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's too small really to professionalise. Like, I don't know where the money would come from. It would be great if players got paid, and I'd be the first to say, yeah, pay the players. Because you train, like being involved, not in inter-county proper setups, but under 21 and minor, you put in the hours that you're seeing lads. Like, I was in college with Michael Sylvester, who was on the Ireland under 20s last year in rugby. He's getting paid to train the same amount of hours as I was getting paid to train, or not getting paid to train. So you're playing this sport all your life, and you want to play for Dublin, you want to make it to Croke Park, and then once you get to the age where you realise, maybe I realised it too late, but this isn't going to pay the bills. You know what I mean? And I'm going to have to, especially me, like I would have to put in a lot of time to say, even make the fringes of any Dublin panel. Is that worth it? No. In the long run. Like, obviously you want to play to represent your club, represent your family, you know, make people proud, but the financial aspect of it holds a lot of people back.
Yeah, you need to live your life every other day.
I think as you get older, you kind of have to manage your hours a little bit more. It's something that I've kind of taken on this year. Is like, I still play a little bit of rugby, but not that much. But it's one of them things that like you need to go over. You know, what are you giving up versus what you're giving up, getting back? And obviously, it is if you do have a club that you do love, and obviously when you grow up in a hurling club, it's obviously something that you want to play for, but. Like, for example, like, I played for Malahide when I was younger, and then I went to Belva. I didn't play any club then at all. And then I finished school, started playing for Clontarf. But I have no real affiliation to Clontarf. Like, I don't live in Clontarf, that kind of thing. So you kind of have to weigh up, where are you getting a return here?
I think with the like the amateurism, I think I've seen people who come over from different countries over to Ireland, and they're amazed by the dedication of the players, and that they do it for no... for no monetary reward. Like,
baffles people.
Like, they just can't believe just the love of the sport, and you do it for your area. I think that's a great thing about the sport though, as well.
It's why it's so pure. Like,
exactly. I think you take that away, I think you lose kind of, not it's purity, exactly what you said, Jack, just the purity of the sport, and just the freedom, kind of freedom spirit that you play when you play those sports.
Yeah.
And you know, not monetary value isn't, like, that pressure behind it isn't put on you.
Yeah, obviously I think that is a big decision, but one, I think, especially when you look at kind of counties that wouldn't have that many players compared to Dublin, I think when you think of the amount of people who would drop off when they aren't getting that return, would the standard across the whole country be better if people were then putting their time into training? Like, if you have lads down in all these kind of, you know, in Midland counties who, like, aren't particularly good at hurling or football, you know, they just kind of, they play whatever division 2 or 3, but they're not particularly good. But I think if those lads who, you know, decided that they couldn't play football anymore because they had to start working, and they could have been talented footballers, do you know what I mean? Like, underage, like, I often see that underage county teams, often random teams will often have a great year.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously they just lose players, or I don't know, maybe the step up to senior is just too big, but it's interesting.
It's a big step from juvenile to senior. Anyway.
I don't know that it'll go anywhere, especially, I don't know that it'll go professional in our...
I don't see it happening there.
Like, I think if it did, it'd be very long. As you said, I don't know where they'd fund it from. Like, the GAA...
The whole county system would be gone. You'd have to have transfer market. Basically, it wouldn't work unless it was like soccer.
Yeah,
you'd have to turn it into the Premier League. Absolutely.
But, like, it's definitely the standard of the sport, and the playing field would be a lot more, well, maybe not leveler, but the standard would certainly go up if people were putting
more effort into it.
It's an e-sport, which is paid. It's a non-paid elite sport, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's your job, you know.
Professionally run, but it's an amateur sport.
Yeah, so that's our bit of GAA done. Now, the other thing that we were going to talk about is handling grief. Personally, in my life, I've never had to deal with a huge grief. Like, I've had grandparents, but I think someone, when it's in your intimate life, it's a lot different. But you have the various stages of grief there that you were going to discuss. Now, I haven't seen these before, so I'm actually interested to see what they are. So do you want to?
Yeah. I personally, like, everyone experiences grief throughout their life at different stages, and I can only talk from a personal point of view on this. When I went through it, it's a process which everyone has to go through, and I don't think there's, some people talk about, like, trying to put off and trying to deal with the moments straight after loss. I try to make myself busy, but I think it's kind of, there's stages to it, and it's very important to know about it. I can really helpful to know about it, because when I went through it, I found it was a very frustrating period of my life when I went through it, because you're feeling all these emotions after you lose someone who's very close to you, and you're not quite sure how to understand them and deal with them. And I wasn't not very well equipped, but I would have never dealt with something as serious in my life.
Absolutely.
But I looked up and I did a lot of research into it, and I kind of, because I was really interested to see, like, what ways were the best ways of dealing with it, because I had upcoming exams, coming up out of exams in 2 months. And I really want to sit down, so I had a summer. I lost my dad in the week before, I lost my dad 2 years ago, and then I had the exam. So I wanted to kind of knuckle down and get my exam so I could have a summer to kind of reflect and have free time.
Yeah,
because I know that's what he wouldn't want. He would want me to get through it. But so I'm going to go through the 5 stages. Just hopefully this will help someone out if you're struggling with grief, or, well, even to just have the skills available, or even the info available to you if this is something that may happen in the future. Hopefully it doesn't happen to you anytime soon.
Yeah. But even in that, like, it is something that will happen inevitably. Like, it's part of life. Like, death is part of life. Mm-hmm. And it's just what you need to, which I think people could find is very useful, that you never know how long your loved ones are going to be around. So it is useful to kind of know and see how people do deal with it afterwards.
Yeah.
So
the first stage is denial, and this is just, it's the stage kind of, it's the initial shock after you've lost someone, and it's kind of, it's a stage you go through, and it helps you deal with the immediate loss, and it kind of paces your grieving stage. So you often will feel quite numb to the situation around you, like, even like the initial situation after the funeral. You can feel like numb and dissociated away from the moment. It's the first stage, and it helps you just cope, because it's in the initial shock and you don't really, you're quite confused and you don't know what's going on. So the first stage is denial, and you go through it, and there's no set time on what these stages go through and how long they take. People go through them for a long stage or a short stage. And grief can come back years later as well. So first stage is denial, and you start to question the meaning of why we should go on and with their lives, and you know, similar questions like that. And it's normal. So once you go through this, it's normal. All these stages are normal. I want to emphasize this. You're not alone when you go through this. There's lots of people. Everyone will deal with some stage. So the first stage is denial, and then you'll move on to anger. So you'll be angry at the world, at yourself, or other people. You'll vent it towards other people. It'll allow yourself to feel it. I would encourage people personally, I allow myself to feel it. It'll help you, and it'll relieve some emotional stress, and I found it really helped me. And at least someone can feel like you're lost at sea alone and you're very isolated. And actually being angry at someone, I found, can build a connection to someone else, even though it may not be rational anger. It can be, and you don't have to take it out of them, but in your head you're angry at them, it can build a connection to someone else, and it can actually help you express yourself and get through it. So that's the second stage, and it's another indication to show the intensity that you have for your loved one. I looked up a lot of this when I was going through when I was grieving at the time, and I thought it really helped just to understand what you were feeling at the time.
I think understanding your emotions and what's going on is very important, because if you're, whether it's with grief or with anything, if you have emotions inside you and like your brain is acting in a certain way, if you don't know why or that it is rational for your brain to do so, you start to worry about yourself.
Exactly.
Why am I feeling this? Does everyone feel like this? Oh. When will this stop? And I think the fact that there is information out there that it is good to be able to talk about it, because it probably isn't something that people will openly talk about.
People
often
don't want to talk about it. And I think, and it's obviously, like, people like to be happy all the time, and topics like this can bring people down. And I just think it's useful skills to have, as you had skills for other things, of dealing with like to address the emotional situation. The third one would be bargaining, and a lot of time this comes up, you ask questions like, what if this had happened, what if we found the illness earlier of your loved one. I think as humans, when we go through something or something bad happens, you try and analyse the situation and say, how could we change this?
Hindsight,
and we like to attribute blame when something goes wrong and stuff like that. And I don't think that's fair, because some things in life you can't control, or you get the luck of the draw on some things in life, and it's very difficult. And I don't think in a case, in a lot of cases, blame can't be attributed, and you just need to, as this will come further on, you'll have to accept there's some things you can or can't control, and you can't live in the past anymore. I know it's very difficult at the time, but it's a thing. It's difficult to comprehend why these things happen, but you just have to accept that they've happened and try and learn from them and deal with them better in the future.
Bargaining was number three, was it?
Bargaining was number three. And then the fourth one you move on to is like a depressive state. So this is where you usually allow yourself to feel the full sadness of actually losing someone. So this is, the grief enters our lives in a deeper level, so deeper than we ever imagined possible. It feels as though it can last for a long period of time, but you need to remember these feelings are only temporary. And you only feel them because you felt such love for that person that you lost. You're not, and you can feel empty and feel very dissociated. I know personally when I went through it, I felt dissociated in moments where I'd be surrounded by people, my loved ones, my friends, who people I'd be around, like, and I'd be really close to, and you just felt like just disconnected. And it's
your mind is elsewhere.
Exactly. You feel disconnected, but at the same time, you go through these and you get through them. Like by over time and dealing with them, thinking about it, you get through them, and then eventually we're coming on to acceptance, which is the fifth stage. You start to just enjoy the smaller moments again, and you have more good days and bad days. It's not that you forget about it, you learn how to deal with it, you know? And sometimes, like, when you're in the fourth stage, depressive state, you need to protect yourself when you're vulnerable. Sometimes you can be emotional, you can have a hard day, you can be tired, and you see something that reminds you of that loved one, and you can just click in and you become sad again. But sometimes when you're not in a good state of mind, it's probably best off to try and avoid those. You've got trigger points, things that remind you of them. Sometimes I would say try and deal with it, and don't allow yourself to dodge those emotions. But sometimes you can have a hard day, and sometimes it's better off to just allow yourself to have that moment and not go into those memories. I find that helped a lot, especially when I was dealing, coming up to exams and even big days, because big days can be tough.
Yeah.
And the last stage is acceptance. This is the kind of the final stage, and people think that it's often referred to if you're being okay with what has happened, and that's not the case. Many people don't feel okay or right about the loss they felt, but they just learn to adapt and live their lives.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, the person you've lost would have never wanted you to change your life and the way you were living because you lost them.
Yeah,
they would have wanted the best for you.
Yeah.
And like everyone needs to know that, like, you bet that person would want the best for you. And I know it's very easy to feel down, and that will happen, you will feel down, but I do feel that that person would want the best for you. They would have wanted you to go and live your life, and I do think it's right to think about everyone passing. You're not forgetting about them, you're not replacing them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're building new relationships and adapting, people often feel guilty about replacing that person.
They would have wanted
that for you, and as well, you're not replacing them, you're just trying to better yourself and trying to get it back out there.
Yeah.
And you know, and I think that's a big, getting to acceptance is a big part. I remember turning around to you one day, Dan, I was sitting in the car and I woke up that morning. I was like, I woke up the first time and I was actually happy when
mm-hmm.
I woke up. Because I found personally, and I hope people can just kind of have common ground with this one as I'm talking about it, is I'd often wake up some mornings and I felt like it was a bad dream. It was a nightmare. I felt like I wish that I'd wake up one day and everything would be back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just the initial stages of denial that I had.
Yeah.
That I wish. I remember, like, for instance, my brother started wearing my dad's shoes. I know this person, but it used to walk up the stairs, and I could always tell. I didn't tell some of the noise above the stairs. And you just close your eyes for a minute, and you'd close your eyes, and you just wish it was them. And that was the stage I was going through, and just small things like that. And it'd give you initial happiness in the moment. And I think there's things that's personal moments to go through me, but there's stages to go through. And once I got to the stage of acceptance, I thought it was really clarifying in mind for me. I just found that was very good. And I really hope people can find common ground with that, because no one's alone in this.
Yeah.
Everyone goes through this.
Absolutely.
And I would really recommend looking at the different stages going through to kind of understand your emotions, and with mental health being so prominent now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think it's very important. There's lots of different ways. I don't know, Jack, if you've dealt with the grief and in your own way.
Yeah. Not on the same level, but
recently,
like, lost my granddad, but like not the same level. And like I found anyway that having people around you made it a lot easier.
Yeah.
Maybe not in the initial stages, there's probably stages where you have to go through yourself. But certainly having like a strong network of people around you and people who care about you, want the best for you, is definitely a big help. Like
absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like there's so many ways that you, like, the people around you can help. Even cheering you up. Like, some people would want to talk about it, some people don't. I don't know, like, personally, I didn't talk about it, like, even to my close friends. I found confiding in people who didn't really know my whole situation, I found that easier, because I didn't want to upset people.
Yeah.
I didn't talk to my initial family, my immediate family. Everyone was very supportive of me, but I just found it easier to open up to people who didn't know, because I didn't want to upset them, burden them. But yeah, like, I found this. And main thing is just, you need to really look after yourself during this period of time, because fatiguing, sleep, look after your body, because when you're run down, everyone else says, I'm run down, I can get emotional, I can get sad about that, and you're more likely to switch from happy to sad. I find I am. So it's really important to get your sleep, good quality sleep. Exercise is huge as well, and keeping yourself busy and different tasks.
Absolutely. Our different kind of hacks for staying healthy up top. No, genuinely, like, I really appreciate that you're able to talk about that, because like, I know that there definitely, like, 100% there's people out there who, you know, will go through that, have gone through that. Maybe they didn't deal with it properly.
Yeah.
Maybe, like, so, like, 100%, like, that's genuinely something that, like, it's an absolute privilege to have you on and talk about that with us today. It's going to be real weird, because we're now talking about grieving and now we're going to try and tell a fucking joke. So
let's just move on.
Are you going to give me a dark joke?
I don't know. YouTube employers listen.
Anyone who wants to employ Hugh in the future, I swear to God, if he tells a bad joke,
turn off now.
Actually, if you want to employ Hugh Fenton, just turn off now. He's actually a really nice guy.
I think my boss from work could be listening to this. Also, like, jokes. Ooh, I actually struggled with this one, because I was trying to find the line. of what you could and couldn't push, because you know I love
Jack
Hamer.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. You know I love Jack
Hamer. Hang on, actually, while we're talking about Jack Hamer, right? I'm going to tell this anyway. So, me and Huey have been, we have dark humor between us, you know, like, and I mean, like, very, very dark. Like, Huey makes jokes about, like, yeah, anyway. Anyway, so, we're back January 2018, and we're in the car, and I step out of the car, take a phone call, and my granddad has been quite ill, kind of leading up to this, the last kind of couple of days, and then I get the call, and they kind of know the call I'm getting, so I get back into the car, and obviously my granddad had passed away, and Huey is on the off cord, and all you can hear is, boom, 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 another one bites the dust, boom, boom, oh, the eruption in the car. I have to get out of the car, and just be like,
I think I'm the only person who got away
with that. Yeah, absolutely, like, yeah, anyone else, I don't think anyone else would have done that, but
yeah.
It's just the way that, me and you have that wavelength with the dark shit, that it's like, you know, yeah. If you can't fucking laugh about some things, not laugh, but just like understand the comedic value behind.
Yeah, like you can't laugh at yourself, you can't laugh at the situation, so they just make it easier.
So, on that, I don't think his dark humour will be that dark now, but do you want to tell me your joke?
Oh yeah, I kept it a little bit lighter, so I find this actually difficult, but I've got a couple of jokes.
Wait, tell me one fucking joke.
Yeah.
Fucking the joke book here.
Man's got a list. Not an annual is used to getting primary school.
Oh, yeah.
He just actually has a load of Penguin Bar rappers here.
Like, my joke is genuinely terrible. See, you only have to come on and tell one joke. I have to do this every podcast.
Yeah, I was scandalous enough.
Alright, go on.
Right, so, how do you stop a fist fight between two blind men?
I don't know.
Say that you're rooting for the lad with the knife. No.
Wait, tell me that again.
How do you stop a fist fight between two
they'll get
paranoid
that the other fella has a knife.
And they'll run away.
I was just like waiting for us. Like,
we have to think about that, haven't we?
Yeah, sorry, it's a bit too fluffy for me. All
mine's,
right.
Mine's really bad. What is it? Oh yeah, love is a bit like a fart. If you have to force it, it's probably shit.
Nice. Right, and then to add to my multiple bad jokes, why are dogs bad dancers?
Don't know.
Because they've got two left feet. Because dogs have four legs, two of them are left, two of them are right. Okay, life hacks. Who wants to go first?
Mine is simple enough. I was going to do, I keep a bullet journal a bit like Brian Egan, but he was on talking about that. But some people may know I'm quite into caffeinated beverages.
Oh, yeah.
And simple hack is keep cup. Furious might have one. But you save, it depends on the coffee shop, but you save anywhere between 20 and 50 cents on every cup of coffee.
Yeah, I mean, you drink a lot of coffee.
And when you drink, say, 3-4 cups a day, that's a lot of money. Like, so,
3-4 cups of coffee a day, would you?
I'm on about 3. I limit myself to about 3. So what, I wouldn't be buying 3 now, to be
honest.
But
like, you have a coffee when you wake up.
I try not.
Always
to.
Get
I
your
try,
first
I try not
coffee
to.
The morning, Snapchat.
Cheers.
Cheers.
The old boomerang. Like.
Yeah.
No, I try have one. I try not have one when I wake up and have one about 11.
Yeah. You naturally wake up.
You're better off waking up naturally than relying on caffeine. So
yeah.
Have that then maybe like a 3 o'clock one and then latest 6 o'clock.
And then
o'clock.
Evening cap.
Yeah, depends on what I have in the evening. But
yeah.
Keep up, save the environment, save
absolutely,
the environment,
yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
May as well.
The serious caffeine addiction came back from Canada, like, I remember one cold turkey for a month, no caffeine.
What?
No drink, no other
man.
Things. And, came back from Canada, it was a tough month, like, I remember because I was in internship, I'm like, you know, you fall asleep at the desk, you're like, I was like, nah, because we would have 3 monsters a day.
And did you find yourself a lot more caffeine sensitive then when you...
Oh, yeah. So you'd have a cup of coffee in the morning and you'd be wired.
Yeah.
You'd be
see, that's
like,
one thing I miss is like the initial, like, ooh.
Yeah.
Come up.
Yeah.
Happened the other day, I was sitting at work and I finally figured out the coffee machine. I just started it in work and I had like a triple cappuccino. It was like a triple shot. And I was sitting at the desk and I'd sipped and I hadn't drank coffee. It was so strong. And I was sitting on the table wired. And I was being explained stuff by my boss. And I was just like, I couldn't barely see. So I was like, whoa, what's up?
Oh, uncomfortable.
Okay, so your life hack.
I keep a journal like the lads do, but I won't keep on that. Just like on goals for the year. But so I'm into cooking. So like I'm really into like spices and generally trying new stuff.
He does it all.
So just and it's like I find
chicken boxes.
Trying to like I find when you're cooking and finding different spices and different things that work, you kind of want to know the taste and what that spice tastes like. So often, like when I'm cooking, when I cook rice, I'll try different spices every time I cook rice, a different one for each one, and taste it when I'm having it, so I can understand like what flavor a different spice brings to something.
Yeah.
So I'll use it in my cooking. And there's other things like scrambled eggs. People make them every day, right?
Yeah.
People season them, put a little bit of milk when you're making your scrambled eggs, and people season them often when they're cooking. Wait till they're cooked. So you make the eggs will go grey. If you wait till they're cooked and then season them with a tiny little bit of salt and pepper, it's perfect. And as well, when you're cooking them, put a little bit of butter in them and wash the pan immediately. Because if you leave the pan sit, good luck.
Oh, dirt. For a week trying to scrub the thing out.
Okay, right. Favourite part. Okay, so rock, paper, scissors. Who's going first?
Alright, it's rock, paper, scissors.
Okay.
Easy.
Okay, so
go first. I'll go second.
Okay, Huey. What is the only mammal that cannot jump?
Can I give him
no, you can't tell him. Tell him. But he'll beat you otherwise. Yeah, you know what I mean? If you tell him
the only mammal that cannot jump.
The only mammal that cannot jump. I just want to actually, while you're thinking, I just want to give a quick shout out to my little helper this week who helped me make these questions. I appreciate your help a lot.
My little helper, the cryptic lady.
Okay, so.
This is a question I've heard before.
What is the only mammal that cannot jump?
I don't know. What's this mammal worm?
Elephant.
Nice.
Okay. Where is the smallest bone in the human body?
Biology is not my thing. Well, I don't know,
it's
so
nice,
you know, but, smallest bone.
I'll take a stab at it.
I'd say, is there a bone in your, I'm trying to think your pinky, but you're in your foot, but I just don't know, I'd say that one of the bones in your feet.
Your ear.
Yes.
Mm.
A hammer or something.
Staple or something like that. There's like three small bones in your ear, yeah. But okay, which of your nails grows the fastest?
Oh, my nails are biting. I don't think it's. I would say it's your index finger.
Middle.
Ooh.
Middle, yeah. Okay, what is the last word of the Bible?
Slow start.
Last word of the Bible.
Oh my god, what is this?
Amen.
Yeah.
Ah, nice.
What is the Hungarian word for pepper? Easier than you think.
Oh, that just puts more questions. I'm kind of brainstorming, and like I'm just thinking like something like paprika or something.
Yeah.
Paprika.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
What year did Elvis Presley die?
Did he die?
Trick question.
I think it was he died in the toilet, wasn't it? Apparently,
yeah.
And it was I would have said 70s. And I would have said
if you get it within 1 year, I'll give it to you.
1978.
Or 1977, I'll give it up.
Nice.
Okay.
Three.
Who gave their name to the month of July?
Julius Caesar.
Yeah. What is the biggest country on the continent of Africa?
The biggest country. That mental image.
Egypt.
Algeria. Shout out to my boy Ryan. What is the largest freshwater lake in the world?
We were in Canada, right?
I'll give you a clue. It's in North America.
Oh.
Okay, so it's we were in Canada, so I don't know if the Great Lakes in Canada. I don't even know the name of the lakes.
Yeah.
If you don't, come on.
Am I going to hear me whisper?
Lake Superior.
What's it called? Superior.
Lake Superior.
I'm the biggest lake in the world.
I'm superior to all the other freshwater lakes in the world.
What a douche.
Okay, Huey, last question. What is the seventh planet from the sun?
First comes. Okay, remember the Drake and Josh song?
Yeah.
Right,
you're gonna sing it.
Just to give you a background into this.
Hang
on, just to give you a background into this, right? If you get this question right, you get 5 and you're drawn top spot.
Oh, that's huge.
I'm sorry, but I have to throw it in. Like, if you get this, you're up on top spot.
Mercury, then Venus, then Earth, then Mars, then Jupiter, then Saturn, then Pluto, then. So,
Jurassic.
I'm singing it. First comes Mercury, then Venus, then Earth, then Jupiter. Say, then Mars, then Jupiter, then Saturn, then Uranus, then Pluto.
So the seventh.
So.
What's the seventh planet?
The seventh for the, so how many planets? There's eight.
Nine.
There's nine.
Yeah.
Ooh.
There's nine.
Pluto
can't Pluto.
Alright, fine. I'm not counting Pluto
then.
Eight. Fuck you.
Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. Oh my god.
Oh mate, come on, pick one the fuck.
Yeah, what's that? Venus. It's a big question, mate.
I know, yeah, but like, do you know what I mean? Like, you've said all
the time. I just forgot
the song.
No, yeah. Look. Right, okay, do the song one more time.
First comes Mercury. No, first comes Venus.
Hold on.
I'd say Jupiter.
Uranus.
Oh, I knew it!
Not.
You know what I actually feel really Uranus, bad about like, is you had it,
had it on his finger
and when you got to the seventh finger you said Uranus twice and I was like
no he didn't did he?
He did.
Oh,
but he kept talking.
I thought he got there and he said Uranus and I was like
yeah Uranus. Yeah. And then he just kept going and I was like, which one are you picking?
Yeah,
I'm so sorry. Bob so it. So that's four. Four is not a bad score though. Like you're
four is good, very
slow start.
You're in the 90th percentile, you know what I mean?
More than okay.
Right, Jack, you ready?
Yeah,
ready to.
Which garden is said to be amongst the seven wonders of the ancient world?
Ancient world. Machu Picchu or one of them?
The Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
Not dark.
Okay. In 2011, which country hosted the Formula One race for the first time?
That's a tough one.
It is. That'll kill me if I don't get this.
Is he a Formula One man?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of rivalries, Senna and Alan Pott, was it Pott that we didn't talk about that sheets?
Yeah, we didn't talk about any rivalries apart from Bridges of the Video.
Yeah.
First country somewhere in Asia.
Yep.
See, I'm not gonna say Japan. Say Japan.
India.
Balls.
Okay, what does the term piano mean?
Piano.
Yeah.
The term mean? Piano or the word?
The what? Term is word. Like, what does piano mean? Aside from that's a piano, do you know what I mean? What does the word mean?
Also, it's like an acronym. Is it like an acronym? Or is it
an acronym?
No,
is
no.
The letters.
Like, yeah. So piano has a meaning apart from being an instrument.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I'll give you an example of the way I would use this term. It's probably wrong, but it'd be like, "I will piano you." Forget that.
That's a good take.
Yeah, no.
I'll try and answer it, but it's not clear.
Think about what you do.
Yeah, you press the press, no?
Yeah, but you do something to it in a certain way.
You're giving me a lot of hints here. I don't want this one. Just take it off me.
To be played softly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Why don't I say, I will piano you?
I'll play you softly. Hey, my little helper who helped me with the questions. I'll play you softly.
I'll play you softly.
All right, lads.
I don't know what you do in your spare time.
All right. Okay. What year was William Shakespeare born? If you get it within 5 years.
Man, these are proper hard.
That's a tough question.
Mm.
You better fit them.
No. What was he, 18th century?
Back.
Oh, yeah.
He's born.
Ooh. Born in like the 1400s, 1500s.
1500s. Right, you've won last. 1562.
1564.
I'm gonna give you that.
Oh, we'll take it.
Okay. How fast does the honeybee fly in miles per hour? If you get it within like two, I'll give it to you.
It's fair. Like, it's a question.
No.
I'm trying to think of the speeds. Miles per hour.
Yeah, see.
So what's miles in?
If you get everything in kilometers.
Kilometers.
Wait. All right. If you give me a guess in kilometers, right? Hang on. Wait a minute. I'll change it into.
Man, it doesn't matter. Like, actually, yeah.
No, yeah. Kilometers. Right. Right. 6 or 7, is it?
A bit easier to gauge.
One sec. I'm just putting this in. Hang on.
I've got it in kilometers per hour now. And I can't see in the reflection of your glasses, so I'm going to have to guess. I'm going to say like 112 kilometers per hour.
Jack. 112 kilometers per hour B flight.
Yeah, man, they're quick chats,
24.
When they whiz around your head, they're going fast. You know what I mean?
They whiz around your head. Okay, which fruit were Hawaiian women once forbidden by law to consume? The key of the question is Hawaii.
Pineapple.
No.
Coconut.
Yeah. I give that to you.
What am I? All right. 1.5.
So Mendeleev's periodic table has many elements, but which element has the shortest name? So for example, gold is 4 letters.
Yeah.
You know, silver is 6 letters. Which has the shortest name?
Hmm. There's one with 3
P. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's only a four.
Yeah, there's a good few before.
I think I know this one.
10
is
nice. Alright, so. Oh shit, I'm putting in.
Is that four?
Alright, so. What is referred to as a laundry bag in the Air Force? And Air Force being the key part of the question.
Oh. A laundry bag.
In the Air Force.
In the Air Force. I'm gonna say like the cockpit.
No, the parachute.
Balls! Yeah. That's so easy!
Okay.
Oh, Carl Doyle, kill me.
What type of animal is a skink?
What type of animal? As in like mammal, blah, blah, blah.
Mm, yeah, essentially. Like what family does it belong to?
Oh, God, man. A skink.
Yeah.
This is so funny. I'm gonna say. An amphibious animal.
Yeah, but be a little bit more specific. I think I know where you're going with them.
Frog-ish kind of
thing. No, it's a lizard.
Ah!
Yeah, when you said amphibian, is like, kind of...
Yeah, fair.
Okay, okay.
This is a shit show.
Now, this one you should get, right?
All right, pressure on now.
You've got like 3 or 4.
You've got like 3, so you're actually in the upper part of it. So, like, if you take... if you get this question right now...
How many do I have left?
You're on par... You've 1 left, right? If you get this right, you're on par with Huey, and then you'll be...
Who's top?
Or behind Brian.
Tom's on 5, there's someone on 4... Can't remember who's on 4, and then there's a couple on 3. Jenna's on 3.5.
Yeah.
But this, you know, this brings you into the top. You know?
Okay, now the pressure's really on because I should know.
If a coffee bean has a darker color, will that mean that the coffee and content?
Easy.
Will be
I already know what you're gonna ask me. Is it bitter or sweet?
No. So like, if it's a lighter color,
yeah.
Does that mean that the caffeine content is higher or lower? So basically, a dark coffee bean and a light coffee bean. Which one of them has a...
So the light one is higher.
Yeah. Nice.
Light roast, high caffeine, cheers. Yeah. Sweet taste, but...
Nice, so that's 4 apiece, like...
Yeah,
like, that's 4 apiece.
You can ask me about the fruity notes of the bean.
Is there, like, a coconut aftertaste? Is there, like, that fruity grain to it?
What a prick.
That's absolutely... Fuck it, man, I knew solid. Today I was having intelligent blokes on. You know what I mean?
I've actually a riddle.
Okay, alright.
I have a couple of riddles. Like, I don't know if you've heard it.
Well, do one riddle just.
Are you gonna leave it with them and they can send answers in?
Yeah. Let's do that. Alright, so Huey, you give us the riddle, then we'll wrap up shop, and then if you know the answer to the riddle, send it in, and the first one to send it in, I'll send you a 4-pack of Monster.
I'll give you a choice. Give you 2 lads.
That's
choice.
An incentive.
Yeah. That's an incentive. I'll send you a 4-pack of Monster if you get it right.
Don't look it up.
And don't look it up. Yeah.
Build the hype. And so, do you want a riddle? There's 1 maximum, and there is 1 just general riddle. Which would you prefer?
General.
General. Maximum. It's not too matty, but it's a diehard.
Yeah, matty. No, I think matty.
All right.
Oh, okay. It's just a diehard in the movie. They just did it. I'm gonna do the other one.
Yeah. No, you know the answer.
Okay.
Right, so this is actually an interview question that's asked for a lot of people going into this. So you go into a house, right? There's a picture, and in the picture there's 2 brothers, right?
Yeah.
They're identical, same mother, same father, right? They're born in the same hospital, like one after another, yeah. But they're not twins. How is this? Don't answer because
I actually know the answer.
I told you this before.
Yeah.
For people at home, so I'll repeat it again. So, and if you have any questions about this riddle, you can send into the
pod.
Into the pod, but So it's you walk into a house as a picture, and it's a picture of 2 brothers. They're identical. They have the same biological mother and father, born in the same hospital, moments after each other. How is this possible if they are not twins?
Yeah. Nice. First one to send the
email. Absolutely. Yeah. Right, so the first one who sends that email and answer, I'll send you a follow-up.
Pleasure being on the pod.
It's not a great prize, but look, it's better than nothing. Yeah, absolutely, it's been fantastic to have you.
Much, bro.
It's not a bad way to spend your Sunday, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully, and hopefully people will take some of that and be able to implement a bit of that into their own lives. You know, a bit of an insight into the GAA from lads who have been kind of slaving away at it for the last while, but genuinely, it's a privilege to have you on today, and hopefully we'll see you again soon.
Absolutely, bro.
So that's all from us here at the Inside Trail. I'll see you all soon. Be good to yourself.